Jessie was my daughter. She was a pretty little girl who played the violin, played the piano, danced around, and was like any other little girl. Very bright, loved words. And then suddenly, when she was just 9, she became dizzy and was at first diagnosed with labyrinthitis, which is a middle ear infection. She thought that was rather good fun because she loved the word labyrinthitis. She liked to say it. In fact, it really wasn't very good fun because the antibiotics did nothing about it. And the following week, it was clear that there was something very serious wrong. And she was shortly after that diagnosed with a brain tumour. So Jessie had very few options for treatment. She had radiotherapy, which shrunk the tumour a little bit, but her prognosis was very poor. So we researched all sorts of different treatments, and we ended up deciding that we would take her for some complementary treatment to New York. Our musician friends all were incredibly supportive, and really they started to raise money to help us to pay for this expensive venture. And one day, a couple of our colleagues came up to, we live in York, which is quite a long way from where we mostly worked at that time, and they hopped on the train and came up to see us. And we were astonished that so much had been raised at that point. I can't remember exactly how much it was, but it was four figures. It was several thousand pounds. And we were sitting around our kitchen table, and Jessie was there, and we were saying, we'd better open a bank account and give it a name. And that's how Jessie's Fund started. She actually, after we'd been deliberating on names, she said, let's call it Jessie's Fund. Its purpose became very different, in fact.
So tell me about Jessie's Fund now.
So Jessie's Fund now helps children to communicate and to express themselves by using musical sound as a form of language. Musical conversations can take place where verbal language is completely out of the realms of possibility for some of these children. But a conversation doesn't depend on words in the work that we do.
And I've been reading about some of the stories on the Jessie's Fund website about how your work totally changes the lives of these young people.
Yes, there's countless ones, so I have to think back to which ones would be really powerful. One child that a music therapist was working with had a brain injury that rendered him in a comatose state. Apparently, he was not responsive. He'd had an accident. He'd been a perfectly normal child before that. He was in a children's hospice where a music therapist was working, and she was working with him. But it seemed quite one-sided because he had apparently been unresponsive, and everybody was sure that he was not able to respond. As she was playing, she felt that the movements which people had said were involuntary. She felt that they weren't. She felt that there was some sort of response to the music that she was making. So she got a piece of electronic equipment called MIDI Creator, and she held a sensor quite close to his head, which translates movement into sound. And she continued to play, and his movements created sound as well. So suddenly there was a duet, and it was absolutely clear that he was aware of what he was doing because he started to control that slightly. And there were some tears. He realised that he was being listened to and that he could make a sound to her. He didn't live so much longer. He lived a few months longer. But those last months of his life, he could communicate.
Because the music therapist realised this little boy was still there.
Yeah.
And he realised someone heard him.
Yes. In fact, his mother had always thought he was there, but all the medics, in the way that mothers do, know.
An intuition.
But all the medics had said, there is no response. So his mother had those last few months of his life able, by using this equipment and by learning a few techniques, able to communicate with her son, and he was able to communicate back.
And Jessie's Fund now works in almost every children's hospice across the UK?
Yeah, almost. Not quite all of them. We're still working on it. But by far the majority of children's hospices, we've established posts for music therapists, and we also have provided instruments for very many of the hospices. And we provide training annually for care team members who are not necessarily musicians at all, because many of the musical techniques that we can use with children aren't techniques for which you've had to study music at all. They're just ways of using voice and simple percussion instruments and so on. In the hospices, the music therapists, we tend to establish the post and support it to start off with, but we're only a small charity, and our way of spreading the music far and wide is to instigate these things and then to draw back slightly when the hospice has been absolutely convinced that they want to continue with the role. And then we can move on to other hospices. And this is how we've expanded towards most of the hospices in the UK.
What is the difference that that makes to that environment?
The care teams often say they have never seen children respond in any way similar to the way they can respond with music. They've not seen that before, and it shows them a new aspect to the children that they're working with, which that changes then the way they can work with the children. And the same parents say the same thing as well. But one really important thing with the hospice work that we do is that a lot of the time a music therapist will record some of the music that he or she is doing with the child and the child is making with the music therapist. That then later on becomes a very, very important memory for the family after the child has passed away.
And Jessie's Fund doesn't just work in hospices. Can you tell me all the different ways that Jessie's Fund reaches out to young people?
A major project we have is called Soundtracks. And Soundtracks works in schools for children who've got special educational needs. Brings musical, creative, participatory musical projects to those children who may not have been able to engage in musical activity before. Special schools often, not always, but often, don't have music specialists on the staff. They always have a music coordinator, but that music coordinator may not have music specialist training and actually, in the majority of cases, doesn't. So very often the school is calling out for some extra skills, not only to come in to work with the children, but to teach the staff how to work with the children themselves. And we're very keen on showing staff how they can create music from scratch. We're not talking about music that Beethoven wrote or that is on a CD. We're talking about music which they're making. It's their own expression at that time, and it lives in that moment, just like a conversation does.
How do you think Jessie would feel about the work that the charity's done and the fact she has inspired it all?
Jessie would be amazed to see what's happening. For a start, she would never have seen me as anything but a clarinet player, let alone sitting at a computer running a charity and running around schools and hospices and things. She had a great sense of humour. I think Jessie would be looking down and having a real giggle to see what's been going on. But not only that, but just the fact that so many children are benefiting and have had life-changing experiences because Jessie was a little girl who lived, loved music and died rather too young.